B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yom Daf Ayin Ches. We're going to start 19 lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Toni Yehuda bar Groigrois. And we're still learning about the halacha of the prohibition of washing oneself on Yom Kippur. And Yehuda bar Groigrois taught in a brisa, Osur leishev al gabei tino b'yom kippurim. If somebody is hot and he wants to cool himself down, so he wants to sit on top of some moist mud in order to get the pleasure of that feeling of moistness on Yom Kippur, and it's a pleasure which is similar to washing, says Rashi, so that's also to do on Yom Kippur. Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi adds, but that's on condition, ubetino metapachas, that's only if the mud itself is very moist. Omer Abaya, and Abaya said, ubetofeach al menos latfiach, the level of moistness, the way to know whether it's moist enough, that it should be similar enough to washing, that it should be also on Yom Kippur, is that when you touch it, you get damp enough, wet enough, moist enough, that if you touch something else, that something else would become moist. Omer Rav Yehuda says, Mutar leitztanen bepeiros, one is allowed to cool oneself down with fruits, one's allowed to press some cool, cold fruits or vegetables onto a person's flesh to cool himself down. Rav Yehuda mitztanin b'koro, Rav Yehuda would cool himself down with this vegetable called koro, possibly what we know today as squash. Rabba mitztanin b'yanuka, Rabba would actually take a soft and cool child and a baby and cool himself down by cuddling the baby. Rava mitztanin b'kosa de kaspa, Rava would cool himself down with a silver cup. The cool texture of the silver, he would put it onto his flesh and cool himself down. Omer Rav Papa says, kosa de kaspa mole osur, the silver cup, if it's full of liquid, it's also to use it to cool oneself down, because we're afraid that the water may spill onto his flesh, and that would be considered washing on Yom Kippur. Choser, however, if the silver cup is not full, shori, then it's mutar. De pachra, regarding cups that are made of earthenware, idividi osur, irrespective of whether the cup is full or not completely full, it's osur mishum de mishchal shochil, because typically the liquid would seep through the walls, the sides of the earthenware cup, and therefore we're always afraid that it is considered washing on Yom Kippur. Rav Ashi Omar, kasa de kaspa choser nami osur, even a silver cup, even if it's not completely full, it's also awesome, mishum de mizdoriv, because it could slip out of a person's hands, and if it does slip out of his hands, then again, the liquids would fall onto the person's flesh, and that would be considered washing on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara relates, Ze'iri bar choma, ushbizchonin de Reb Ami, v'Rabbi Asi, v'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, u'dekunu rabbonon de Kesari hava. This is Ze'iri bar choma, was actually the host of all these chachomim, Reb Ami, Reb Asi, Reb Yeshua ben Levi, and all the chachomim of Kesaria. And omalei l'Rav Yosef berei de Reb Yeshua ben Levi. And he said to Reb Yosef, the son of Reb Yeshua ben Levi, bar Aryo, you, Reb Yosef, the son of a lion, referring to Yeshua ben Levi the lion, Ta imeloch milsom aliasa de hava ovid avuch. The Ze'iri bar choma, he said to Rav Yosef, I'm going to tell you something ma'alias or something noteworthy that your father would do. And Ze'iri was witness to this because he was the host of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And what was that? Mitpachas hoyolei be'erev Yom Kippurim, he would take a towel on the eve of Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur, v'sheire oiso b'mayim, he would soak it in water, v'oise oiso k'min kelim neguvim, and he would make it into a dry object, a dry item, which means that he would wring it out so that it no longer dripped any water. However, there was some moisture that was still left in it. Ulamochar, and the next day on Yom Kippur, mekaneach b'ponav yado v'raglov, he would wipe his face, his hands and his feet with it. Since the towel had been wrung out the day before, and overnight the towel had continued to dry, and therefore it was no longer saturated with liquid to the extent that was tefeach al munos latfiach that we saw earlier on, and therefore using it to cool oneself down on Yom Kippur was not an act of washing, and it was mutter. Erev Tisha B'Av, on the day before Tisha B'Av, Shaira Isa B'Mayim, he would soak the towel in water. He would not wring out the towel. He would just leave it to dry on its own. And the next day, he would pass it over his eyes. And what was going on here is it seems that just leaving this towel overnight was sufficient, that it should not be wet enough to be considered washing regarding Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. However, since he didn't wring it out, there would still be the risk of him being transgressing the issa of schita, of squeezing, on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av, there's no issa of squeezing, it's a regular weekday. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, he would wring out the towel to make sure that not only there was no issue of washing, there would also be no risk of schita. On Tisha B'Av, it was enough that he just let it dry overnight, there would be no issue of washing, and there was no problem of schita. V'chein ki also Rava Bar Meri, Omar, when Rava Bar Meri came, he also said that Be'er of Tisha B'Av mevi'en lo mitpachas, that on Erev Tisha B'Av they would bring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi a towel, v'sheiroiso b'mayim, he would soak it in water, umanicho tachas marasheisov, and he would place it under his head. And this is a detail that Zeira Bar Choma didn't mention before, but there's no reason to believe that they were contradicting each other. The two stories were the same. Ulamachar, the next day on Tisha B'Av, mekaneach ponov yodov raglov, he would wipe his hands, feet, and face with it. Ve'erev Yom Kippurim, mevi'im lo mitpachas, on Erev Yom Kippur they would also bring him a towel, v'sheira isa b'mayim, and he would soak it in water. And here, in order to avoid schita, v'oisa oisa kamin kelim neguvim, he would wring it dry, in order that the next day there should be no issue of squeezing. Ulamochar, on the next day on Yom Kippur, mavir al gabeinov, he would pass it over his eyes. Omar le Rabbi Yaakov, l'Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa, Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ipcha omartlon, that when you told us over these incidents, you told it to us the opposite way round. You said that regarding Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would wring out the towel, and regarding Yom Kippur, not. V'oisvinoch schita. And we questioned you, that how can that be? If you don't wring it out, then on Yom Kippur, you're going to be squeezing the water out of it, and there's an issa of schita, of squeezing water out of a material, a towel, on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, and that's asa. And now the Gemara is going to discuss two questions that were asked to Rebbe Lazar, and Rashi explains that the reason that it's brought here is because of the second question that's related to our sugya. The first question is not related. Omer Reb Menashe Bar Tachlifa, Omer of Amram, Omer Rabbe Bar Barchono. Shalu es Rebbe Lazar, they asked Rebbe Lazar, the first question was, Zokein v'yeshiv b'yeshiva. A Zokein, an elder, a sage, a Torah sage, who is sitting b'yeshiva, which means that he's part of the great Sanhedrin. Does tzorich litel reshus lehatir b'chayro? So yeinu tzorich. We know that at some point the Chachomim stated that in order for any person to be able to judge whether a b'chayr, a firstborn of a kosher domestic animal, a cow, a sheep, a goat, that the firstborn has to be given to the Kohen and be brought as a korban. And now that there's no Beis HaMikdosh, then it cannot be brought as a korban. The only way that this animal can actually be used by the Kohen is if one waits until it receives a permanent blemish, a mum. And once an expert examiner has determined that this animal now has a permanent mum, at that point the Kohen can do with it whatever he wants, and it's not hektish, and he can use it and eat it as he pleases. Now when this animal, these b'chayris, the firstborn of these animals, were given to the Kohanim, then they were forced to feed and to watch and protect this animal all the while until it received a blemish. Once it received a blemish and the expert determines and confirms that it has a blemish, only then the Kohen can shecht it and eat it and enjoy it. The question is that who was allowed to be this expert to determine that indeed there's a blemish? So the question was that, or what happened was that normally for somebody to be able to become an expert and to be able to examine Bechoyer, he has to have permission and authorization from the Nossi before doing that. But that would just be regular people who wanted to examine Bechoyeris, they would need permission. The question is, such a sage who is sitting on the Sanhedrin, does he also need permission the first time from the Nossi to be able to determine the status of a Bechoyer? Or not? And the Gemara explains, what was the question? Maikomi boile, What are the two sides? Hachi kami boile, it's as follows. Ki ha da omer av idi bar ovin. Davor ze hi nichu lohem lebnei nesia kadele is gadir boi. In order that the home of the Nasi should have some greatness, should have some value, therefore they instated that in before anybody is able to determine and to rule the status of a bechayer, tzarich litel rishus, he has to get permission from the nasi, from the home of the nasi. So the question is, do we say that in all cases, or do we say idilma or no? Kiven de zokin v'yeshuv b'yeshiva, since this Torah sage is sitting in the Sanhedrin, ein tzarich, it's not necessary for him to receive permission from the nasi. That was the question. Omer Rav Tzadok ben Chalukah al Raglav. Omer Rav Tzadok stood up on his feet and said, "Ani ra'isi es Rav Yosi ben Zimra. I saw Rav Yosi ben Zimra. Shezokin v'yeshuv b'yeshiva hayo. He was one of these sages that was sitting in the sessions of the Sanhedrin. V'omad b'maylo mizkenoi shel zeh. And he was standing before this one's grandfather, the grandfather of the current Nosi, that this Yosi ben Zimra, he stood in front of the grandfather of today's Nasi, v'notal rishus lehatir b'chayres, in order to receive authorization to be able to determine the status of these firstborns. So you see that even somebody who was sitting on the Sanhedrin needed permission from the Nasi. Omale Rab Abba said to Rab Tzaduk, lo kach hoyo maisa, that's not true, that wasn't the incident. Elo kach hoyo maisa. What happened was as follows. Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra koyin hoya. This Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, he was actually a koyin. He wasn't just a regular person who wanted permission from the Nasi in order to be able to determine the status of Bechayr. He was a koyin, and he asked a specific question relating to koyanim being able to determine the status of the Bechayr. V'hachakomi boyele, what he asked the grandfather of the Nasi of today, that means what he asked the Nasi back then, he asked him as follows, Halacha k'Reb Meir, is the halacha like Reb Meir, the Omar who said, Hechoshud b'davar, that somebody who is suspected about a certain matter, lo idonoi v'lo me'idoi, he's not allowed to judge on that matter, nor is he allowed to testify on that matter. And every single Kohen is assumed to be Choshud, to be suspected on this matter, for very fact that this Kohen is holding a Bechayr, he actually has to feed it all the while that it does not yet have a blemish, with no benefit to the Kohen whatsoever. It's just that's his duty. He was given a firstborn animal, which potentially in the time of the Beis HaMikdash would have been a korban, and you just have to feed it at the cost of the Kohen. So the Kohen has every reason to want this animal to have a blemish. He may lie and say that it's got a blemish, and there's even the risk that he would make the blemish in order that this animal should now lose its status of being a korban, being bechayer, and become regular chulin, that he can do with it whatever he wants. And therefore, he is choshud. The question is that his choshud in... And as far as determining whether his own animal, which means the animal, the Bechayr, that was given to him, whether he's allowed to determine that this animal has a blemish, that he's definitely not allowed to do. The question is, once he's choshud, is he allowed to determine the status of a blemish in a different Kohen's animal or not? And that was the question that was posed by this Yosi ben Zimra, the Kohen, to the Nasi, the grandfather of that day's Nasi. And he asked, Oy Dilma, halacha k'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, maybe the halacha is not like Reb Meir, and the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Omar who says, Ne'mon hu al shel chaveroi, that he is believed about somebody else's animal, a different Kohen's animal, whether it has a blemish, ve'eino ne'mon al shel atzmoi, even though he's not Nemon on his own animal, an animal that he himself was given, but on a different Kohen's, he is Nemon. And that was the question. Uposhatle and the Nasi of then determined and resolved that the halacha is K'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that he is Nemon. And since that was the question, then the question was not in any way about does somebody sitting on the Sanhedrin have to have permission from the Nasi before becoming an expert in determining the status of a Bechayr. That was the first question that was posed to Rebbe Loza. A further question that was asked of Rebbe Elazar, and that's the one that's relevant to our sugya here. Mahu lotzeis besandal shel sham. We know we're not allowed to go out with regular shoes, and typical shoes are made of leather. Is one allowed to go out on Yom Kippur with a sandal made of sham, which is a type of plant, a type of growth, something which is not your typical material that's used for shoes? Omad Reb Yitzchok Bar Nachmoni al Raglov Omar. Yitzchok Bar Nachmoni rose and he suggested to resolve this. Anira Isias Reb Yeshua ben Levi. I saw Reb Yeshua ben Levi sheyotzo basandol shel sham b'yom kippurim, that went out with this reed type of material of sham as his shoe, as his sandal on Yom Kippur. Va'aminale, and I, Reb Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni, asked and said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Betainis tzibur mai, I can see that you're going out on Yom Kippur like this. What would you do on a regular public fast day?" And these were fast days which are discussed at length in Maseches Tainis Daf Yud Beis, where when there was a drought, when there was no rain falling, then the Chachomim, they made a fast days, and on those fast days, the same afflictions that were applied on Yom Kippur applied on those fast days. And since those fast days are midrabbanon, it could be that the rabbanon added even more affliction and more details to the afflictions than Yom Kippur. And maybe they said that on a Tanis Tzibur, you're not even allowed to go out with shoes made of sham. Omer li, and he said to me, Leishna, there's no difference. That in the same way as on Yom Kippur, one's only not allowed to wear regular shoes, but one is allowed to wear shoes of sham. So too on a fast day, the prohibition against wearing shoes is only the regular shoes, not those of sham. Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, Anira Isi es Rebbe Elazar de Mininve. I saw, says Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, I saw Rebbe Elazar from Ninve, sheyotza basandal shel sham, betanis tzibur. I saw him going out on the public fast days, on those fast days that were made when there was a drought and everybody was fasting, they were not allowed to wear shoes. And I saw him going out with shoes of sham. And I said to him, "B'yom Kippurim, my, what would you say is the halacha on Yom Kippur? When Yom Kippur is a more stringent day, it's minatera. Would you go out with such shoes as well?" Omar li, lo yishno. He said to me, "There's no difference. The same shoes that one's allowed to go out on a public fast day, one's allowed to go out on Yom Kippur." Rav Yehuda nofik b'dehitni. Rav Yehuda would go out on Yom Kippur with sandals made of hitni, which is also a type of a reed. Abaya nofek b'dehutzi. Abaya went out on Yom Kippur with sandals made of palm leaves. Rava nofek, Rava would go out on Yom Kippur with sandals made of b'deyavli, with a type of a grass. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, korech sudra akare v'nofek. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, he would wrap a piece of material around his foot and go out with it on Yom Kippur, even though this material would somehow make it more comfortable and pleasurable for him to walk, he would do it on Yom Kippur. This is not considered wearing a shoe. Mosiv Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma now asked a question from a Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Hakitea, an amputee, somebody who's missing one of his feet, Yoitza Bekav Shaloi. A kav is a wooden foot that would typically have a groove in it where the stub of his, what's remaining of his foot, would sit into it. Divi Reb Meir, and Reb Meir would say that this amputee is allowed to go out with this wooden foot on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Oyser. Rabbi Yossi says he's not allowed to go out with that wooden foot on Shabbos. And at this point, it would seem that the machlekus is this considered a shoe? Is it not considered a shoe? According to Reb Meir, this kav, this wooden foot, is considered a shoe. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not considered a shoe. If it's not considered a shoe, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. V'toni Allah. And we learned in the Braisa, in reference to this Mishnah, V'shovin sha'osor lotzis bo'i b'yom ha'kippurim, that both Reb Meir and Rabbi Yossi agree that on Yom Kippur, one's not allowed to go out with this wooden foot. So what do we see from here? We see that even a type of a shoe or a sandal or something within which one walks, that's not considered a regular shoe. That's why Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, because it's not considered a shoe. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to go out with it on Yom Kippur. So how can all these other types of sandals mentioned in the Gemara, whether it's sham, whether it's dehutzi, dehitni, diavle, and etc., how could all these amiroim go out with these shoes? Why is it different to the wooden foot of the amputee, which according to Rabbi Yossi is not considered a shoe, and nonetheless on Yom Kippur it was also? So answers the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Hasom d'ispe ksisin. The reason you're not allowed to go out with it on Yom Kippur is because of pleasure, because there's small pieces of rags of material that were positioned, that were placed between the top of this wooden foot and the stub of the person's leg. Or mishum tainug, since there were these pieces of material and rags there, it's somewhat pleasurable to go out with it, and displeasure was not allowed on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara is now going to ask a few questions on Abaya. Omalei Rava, v'ilav monahu. If you assume, as we did assume, Rabbi Yossi says that it's also to go out with it on Shabbos because it's not considered a shoe, it's not considered a utensil, it's not a shoe, ksisin m'shavalei mone, just because there's material there, then it's going to be considered a shoe? And some Mefarshim delete these words because nobody suggested it was considered a shoe. That what Abaya suggested was that because it's tainug, it's also Yom Kippur. But either way, v'oid kol tainug delav min olhu b'yom kippurim mi osur. Are you going to say that indeed it's not a shoe, but there's pleasure because of the soft texture of the material there? Well, something that's not a shoe is also on Yom Kippur. Where do we find such a thing that you're not allowed to have pleasure on Yom Kippur? We know that the five afflictions you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to wear shoes. But if it's not a shoe, then so what that you have some level of pleasure? V'horabba bar Rav Huna have a korich sudra akari v'nofik. We saw that Rabbi bar Rav Huna, he would wrap this piece of material around his foot and go out with it. And nobody would suggest that that's a shoe. And it's giving him extra pleasure, and there was no issue with that. V'oid midiktoni sefer. Since we learnt in the continuation towards the end of that Mishnah that was quoted, that im yesh lo beis kibul ksisin, if this wooden foot has a receptacle for these rags and pieces of material, then, Tommy, it's considered a utensil, and it can be mekabel tomei. It's susceptible to becoming tomei. So what can we imply from that? Michlal Doresha, we would imply from that that the first part of the Mishnah is lav b'de'isle ksisin oskinon. We're not talking about where there's a receptacle for it to contain some rags. So how can you, Abaya, say that the first part of the Mishnah that says that everybody agrees it's also Yom Kippur is because you've got the rags there? It's only in the continuation of the Mishnah that speaks about this wooden foot that has a receptacle for the rags. Ela Omar Rava. Rava has a different way of explaining that Mishnah. De Kule Alma Minhol Hu, everybody agrees, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, they both agree that this wooden foot is considered a shoe. And since it's considered a shoe, one's not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur, according to everybody. So what's the machlokes regarding Shabbos? Well, b'Shabbos b'hol pligi, they're arguing on a different point. What are they arguing? Marasov, Rabbi Yossi holds, gazrin on dilma mishtamit. He says that this type of a shoe, we're afraid it might slip off. V'osi la'suya arba amis, and then this person, the amputee, may come to carry the shoe in Rishus HaRabim for amis. And that's also, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi said, you're not allowed to wear this shoe, even though it is considered a shoe. Umar Sova Legos Rinon. Rabbi Meir says it's considered a shoe, and we're not afraid that it's going to fall off. And since we're not afraid, there's no reason for us to say don't use it on Shabbos. And now the Gemara continues to discuss the concept of the inuim, the afflictions as they apply to children. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Tinoikos, young children, Mutorin Bekulam, they're allowed to engage in all those pleasurable activities that are prohibited by adults. For example, eating, drinking, washing, and anointing. Chutz min ilas asandol, but wearing shoes is something that small children, we don't put shoes on small children. Asks the Gemara, Maishnon ilas asandol, why should wearing shoes be different to the others? Answers the Gemara, the Omra, people will say, in she of delay, that adults put the shoes for him. And even though a child himself, a young child, is allowed to wear shoes, and if he puts on shoes, we do not need to stop him doing it. But for us to put shoes onto him is something that we should not be doing. And this is based on a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Daled. And since people who will see him wearing shoes may suggest that adults have put the shoes on him for him, therefore we do not do that. Asks the Gemara, Hochanami, regarding the other pleasures, for example, washing and anointing, it should also be asa. Omri Inshi of delay. People will say that adults did it for him. Answers the Gemara, Rechitza Vesicha, regarding washing and anointing, Eimer, people will assume, Me'etmail of delay, that it was the day before, it was Erev Yom Kippur, that the adults washed and anointed the children. Asks the Gemara, Sandal Nami, if so, putting on shoes also, people will assume that the shoes were put on the child the day before. Says the Gemara, no. Sandal, regarding wearing shoes, Lai Efshar de Me'etmoel of delay. It's not possible that an adult would have put the shoe on the child the day before. De Omer Shmuel, Hai Man de Boyel Mit'am Taimed de Misusa. A person who wants to experience the taste of death, Lisayim Masoni, he should put on his shoes, Veligni, and go to sleep in his shoes. So we see that going to sleep in shoes is not healthy, and as the Gemara puts it, will help a person taste death, and therefore nobody would assume that adults would put shoes on a child the day before and let the child sleep in his shoes overnight. And since people will assume the shoes were put on the child by adults on Yom Kippur, and therefore the child may not wear shoes on Yom Kippur. And now the Gemara asks, did we not learn in a Braisa, V'ha mutorin l'katchila, K'toni? We learned in a Braisa that regarding small children, they are permitted l'katchila to engage in all the pleasures mentioned in the Mishnah. And even if somebody were to come and ask, am I allowed to feed my child? We're going to say, yes, sure, go give him food. He's a little child, he's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. There's no issue, it's mutar l'katchila. So if so, why should he not be allowed to wear shoes? Answers the Gemara, Elohanach delav rubisaihu, those pleasures which are not necessary for the child's development, gozrubu rabonon, the chachomim, they instated it should be also for them to do. And therefore wearing shoes, we don't let them wear shoes. Hanoch, however, those pleasures, derivisaihu, which the child needs them for its development, for example, washing and anointing, loigos uburabonon, the Chachomim did not prohibit the child from engaging in them, and therefore one's allowed to wash and anoint a child on Yom Kippur. And where do we see that washing and anointing a child is necessary for its development? The Omar Abaya said, Omruli Aim, my mother told me, and this was not Abaya's real mother, his real mother died in childbirth, is talking about the maid who raised him, and she said that Revise Diyanuka, the development of a young child requires Maya Chamima, that he's bathed in warm water, Umishcha, and he's anointed with oil. God Al Purta, when the child grows a little bit older, Be'a Sabukutcha, it requires that you feed him with egg and kutach. God Al Purta, when it grows even a little bit older than that, then Tabure Mona, in order for it to develop, for the child to develop properly, it requires him to be able to break utensils. Kihoda Rabba, as we see with Rabba, that Zovin Lu Mona Geziza de Pachro Libnei, he would buy very cheap, broken and cracked clay utensils for his son, Demetabri Luhu, in order that his son, his young son, should be able to smash them and break them, and that's part of a child's development. Continues the Gemara, Hamelech Vakalo Yirchatsu Espaneim, we saw in the Mishnah that even though regular people are not allowed to wash themselves on Yom Kippur, a king and a bride are allowed to wash their faces. Asks the Gemara, Masnisin Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah that says that a melech and a bride are allowed to wash their face? Says the Gemara, Reb Chananya ben Taradio, in here, the Tanya we learnt in a Braisa, Hamelech v'akalo lo yirchatzu es peneim. A king and a bride are not allowed to wash their faces. Reb Chananya ben Taradio in Oimer, Mishum Reb Eliezer. He said in the name of Reb Eliezer, Hamelech v'akalo yirchatzu es peneim. They are allowed to wash their faces, like in our Mishnah. Hachayo, a mother who's just given birth, lo yisino les ha-sandal, is not allowed to wear shoes. Again, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Reb Chananya ben Taradja Noyma Mishum Reb Eliezer. Again, Reb Chananya says in the name of Reb Eliezer that Hachayo Tinoiles HaSandal, that a new mother who's just given birth is allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. And now the Gemara is going to explain the opinions of Reb Eliezer as quoted by Reb Chananya ben Taradjain. My Tama, what would be the reason behind the lenient ruling of Reb Eliezer? Melech, in the case of the king, the reason is Mishum Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Melech biyofyoi techezeno einecho, that your eyes will behold a king in his splendor. So we see that it's appropriate for a king to be seen in his splendor. And in order to be seen that way, he has to wash himself. Kalo maitama, what would be the reason that a bride is allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur? Kedei shelo tizgano bifnei bala, so that she will not become repulsive to her husband. She's just got married. It takes time to develop the relationship. So the first 30 days, she's allowed to wash her face. Omale Rav Rebchia. Rav asked Rebchia, kalo ad kamo, how long is a bride considered a bride that she's allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur? Omar Le, Kedetani, we learnt in a Braisa, Ein Moin in Tachshitin, we do not withhold Tachshitin, which means cosmetics, Min Hakalo, from a bride, Kol Shloshim Yom, for the first 30 days from when she gets married. And now going back to the Braisa, Hachayo Tinoiles HaSandal, the new mother, just after birth, that according to Reb Eliezer, she's allowed to wear shoes, Mishum Tino, because the cold is detrimental for her, it's harmful for her, and therefore, since she's just after birth, she's allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Im machma sakonas akrov, that if anybody's wearing shoes because they're afraid there's a danger of being bitten by a scorpion, mutter, then it's mutter for anybody to wear shoes in any place where scorpions are prevalent, one's allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.